Okay, I just need to hear a stronger amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. And I welcome feedback. In fact, I rise to the occasion once, so please feel free. Dwight and I have a cardiologist friend in the cities, and he has told me that so many patients, well, all of his patients actually, come to him and say, "Doctor, my heart hurts." And then he runs all the major tests on their heart, and in many cases, he finds nothing wrong. Nothing wrong in a scientific sense. But he knows that their hearts hurt. And so he tries to take time to sit with them and listen to them and ask them some simple leading questions so he can find out why their heart hurts. But this, of course, is not rewarded in his practice by the hospital for whom he works. And if he does this as he feels called to do, he's going to eventually lose his job. But he's very interested in his patients and in listening with them, in walking with them, in abiding with them. Now, some of these patients just want a pill. "Doctor, just give me a pill to solve the problem." But he knows that a pill won't help. There is a lot in this world, even in this country, to trouble our hearts. I want to be informed, but the news has been such a whiplash of events. I just reached this point where I turned everything off, including NPR. It was just so insane. There was some new news every minute. I turned on my radio or on the TV. In last week's gospel, Jesus, recognizing this deep hurt, says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Most of us desire unconditional love, meaning security, truth, fidelity, someone who is committed to us on our best days and our worst days. We look for this unconditional love in many ways and many places over the course of our life, but ultimately, I believe that what we're looking for can only be found in God's love. In today's gospel, Jesus is preparing his disciples, his students, and followers for his departure. Although they don't want to hear it, he's going to die. Even though Jesus will be resurrected from the dead, things will be different. He won't be with his disciples in the same way that he was on earth, physically with them, living with them, talking to them, teaching them through example as much as through word. I'm sure that the disciples' hearts hurt as they began to ponder the possibility of Jesus' absence. But Jesus tells them that he will not abandon them. God will send them another advocate, a second advocate, with Jesus having been the first, the Holy Spirit, also known as the Paraclete or the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. She will lead the disciples in Jesus' ways. She will comfort and encourage them when they are afflicted, and afflict them when they are too comfortable. Further, Jesus tells his followers that if they love him, they will keep his commandments. Most notably, "Love one another as I have loved you." These were the words, this was the commandment that Jesus gave them after he washed their feet. The words we hear every Maundy Thursday. And with these words and this new commandment, he instructed his followers to love one another with a sacrificial love based in God's love and commitment to them rather than a love based in feelings, which can come and go. There are so many different gods we can worship today, just like the Athenians in our reading from Acts. And these gods, like the gods of the Athenians, ask for our allegiance, even though they'll never leave us feeling satisfied or deeply loved. But Jesus here talks about a completely different approach, devoting our lives to a God who will not leave his followers orphaned, but rather abide in them, just as Jesus abides in God and God abides in Jesus. What does Jesus mean when he says that the Holy Spirit will abide with his followers? When I think about the word abide, one image keeps coming to mind, and that is the way that, how mothers and fathers around the world often wrap their newborn baby around their body tightly. In the U.S., we tend to do that in the front. In other countries, when I was in Guatemala, and I've seen pictures, different countries in Africa, the baby is on the back. But that baby is bound to the parent. Dwight and I carried Luke around in a baby Bjorn. How many people had one of those? Until he got so heavy that our back started to hurt. But he went with us everywhere, seeing what we saw. We put him outward, looking out toward God's world, hearing what we heard, smelling the smells we smelt, seeing the sights that we saw. He was our constant companion as we abided with him, and he abided with us. When I think of examples of the abiding Jesus is talking about here, I also think about the people I've known whose spouse has dementia. Their lives are forever changed. The person they once knew is disappearing. But they remain committed, abiding with their spouse through whatever comes their way, keeping the promises they made at their marriage. I think about the families of vets who come back from war completely changed. And I'll never forget a woman in my first church who said that she and her husband were married, and he was this loving, funny, vivacious man, a storyteller, and he left for the Vietnam War, and then a different man came home a few years later. But she has continued to abide with him. I think about parents whose children have physical, emotional, and other kinds of learning challenges. And even though parenthood is different than they ever imagined it, they continue to abide with those children, always working in their best interests, always companioning them, never giving up. I think about Don and Sandra Samuels, who made a commitment to their Northside neighborhood and stayed, even as many of their friends and neighbors gave up and left. I think about those of you who stayed with this faith community during a very difficult interim period. I think about the co-workers and the neighbors and the family members you abide with each week as you listen to their struggles offer a word of comfort and sometimes bring them a meal. I think about all of you who have committed yourselves to our children and our youth, who show up regularly, who create space for these children and youth, saying, you are worthy, and you listen to their questions and concerns and wonderings, serving as channels of God's love and care. Just like the baby who's strapped to its mother's or father's stomach or back, we are able to abide with and bear others' burdens and challenges because God bears us. We are able to bear others in these most heartbreaking circumstances because God is always faithful to us, always walking us and carrying us, and can bear us, and we can thus bear others' challenges. We are able to love others in our families, faith community, and beyond our faith community because Jesus loved us first. This love, again, is not based in feelings, but it is a sacrificial love, a love of commitment and fidelity. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and my Father is in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Amen.